Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Kevin. I haven't been here in a few weeks. If you didn't know who I was, y'all didn't miss me, I guess. So the last 2 weeks have been great. I listened. I joined you from a distance. But 2 weeks ago, I was at Waynesboro, and last week, I was at our East Rock campus. If you're here today and you're new, we have other campuses that meet on Sunday morning, and we have another congregation that meets after our first two English-speaking services, and I'm going to show you just a couple highlights of this. I need to give you some information, but also celebration. But I want to start with this. If you wonder from time to time, in the month of September, I'm going to start introducing our staff to you. We have so many new people who come, and they know some of our staff, and they know what their roles are, but each week, starting in the month of September, I'm going to bring one or two staff up here. I'm going to introduce them to you and explain to you what it is that they do. But we've had a lot of storms here recently. You probably have experienced them. Well, this just happened this past week. I want to show you what three of our staff did this past week. So check this little video out.
Oh, Craig. Oh, God bless him.
Oh, man. I'm just going to continue to...
What is the staff doing every week? Well, this is what they did this past week. So that is Craig. He's one of our custodial staff. That is Daryl. And that is Billy, who came in late running about a 10-100-yard dash to save this, which was blowing across the parking lot. Thank God it did not go in the ditch, and it did not hit a vehicle. I walked in about the time the storm was just cutting loose, and all I heard was Angela Sight from upstairs yell, "Daryl!" And they went running. So you say, man, what are they doing? Well, there's what they're doing during the week. They're saving cars and saving. Yeah, you can clap for that. Yeah. I want to highlight just a couple things to you because we're going to do this together in the first and second service at the end of September, which we have not done. We're going to celebrate baptism together. Last week I was at East Rock, and I want to show you a picture. Pastor Jared baptized this young man. His name is Johnny Good. I'm highlighting this for you because I'm introducing the idea that we're going to do baptism in just over a month. But Johnny decided that he was going to get baptized in the Shenandoah River. The campus in East Rock is doing it today. He's in the military, and he couldn't be there today. So he went and met with Pastor Jared. You can show the next picture. And they got in the Shenandoah River. You can pray for Johnny. His mom is Karen Good. He has a wife, Addison, and he leaves this week. He's being deployed overseas for the next 7 months. But how beautiful that he would say to Jared and had an incredible testimony that I listened to. Hey, this is important to me, and before I leave my family, and before I leave my church, and before I leave the area, and before I get deployed, I want to get baptized. So just hold your applause, because I got several other things I want to highlight for you. The next slide will show last week at our Waynesboro campus. They had what our Hispanic service here, Esperanza Viva, had, the Gran Asado. What is that? It's a giant barbecue. Now, that's just the icing on the cake. Really, they had service. The Waynesboro campus had service in the park. 65 people came, 12 were new, and two people got baptized. And what you're looking at in these two pictures is Pastor Walter and Pastor Marita Cruz. There are pastors there, and they baptized in the park in Waynesboro, two people, and had this massive celebration. What took place here, if you were here last week, is in the following pictures. We had last week here, on these grounds, the 20-year celebration of Esperanza being a church, a part of our church, a campus. And so they had a massive party. And you probably, if you were here last week, you saw the tents and the balloons and everything, and you can see pictures in the lobby, but that's quite a celebration. And they baptized, and there's a couple pictures of this. Pastor Sam and Pastor Chris, they baptized 6 people. So without even having an official baptism service between those 3 campuses, 9 people were baptized last week. We can celebrate that, right? That's beautiful. Yeah. So we're going to do it here in just over a month. There'll be a lot more details coming, but I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to know that this is our church, and this is what's been going on our different campuses throughout just even the last week. It's beautiful, and you should celebrate it. This week, we're in the second week of a series, and the series is The Keys of John. Just a couple thoughts as we get into this. Pastor Billy was here preaching last week. I was down at East Rock, and Pastor Jared preached. And essentially, they both asked this question. Are you listening? Who is Jesus? There's a lot of confusion in our country about who Jesus is. There was a lot of confusion then, and there apparently is even more now. And I think Pastor Billy showed you a picture of a billboard. And that billboard sits right outside Waynesboro, which is saying that Jesus is not God, which went completely contrary to all of what John 1 has to say. John 1 clearly says he is God, and he was with God the Father in the beginning, and creation itself happened through Jesus. So we know, as we sit here, it wasn't just, well, he showed up on December 25th. It's really important that we know who he is, and then we can answer it for ourselves, well, who he is. The writer here, John, is different than the other gospel writers. John is the one who would, in a humble brag, say, I was his favorite. Jesus had 12, he had his basketball team, but then he had 3 guys who went in the inner room with him all the time, but then he had one, the writer of this book, who would say, I was his boy. How do we know that? Because he said it. And it says at the Last Supper that he laid his head on Jesus' chest. And so John writes from this perspective, not arrogantly, but he's writing from this perspective to say to everybody, I was his favorite. And oh, by the way, the reason I was his favorite was not because I investigated this, not because I heard the stories from other people, but because I was there. When he ate, I was with him. When he slept, I was with him. When he did miracles, I saw them. I was there. I saw all of this. I'm telling you from firsthand knowledge. I traveled with Jesus. I slept with Jesus. I ate with Jesus. So when I write this, it's not that the others don't matter. It's not that the others aren't true. It's that I was there. I saw this. You can trust me. And he gives details that the other writers wouldn't give. John chapter 1, the prologue. I'm going to give you an example or an illustration of what this prologue is. Here's a picture. Now, if you're north of 35, definitely north of 40, you know who this is. This was a popular television program back in the 80s. I mean, it had a 5-year run. It was like top 2 or 3. And here's what would happen at the beginning of this show. I probably should have just played it for you. They would come on, and there would be some gunshots fired, and then you would hear this. In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, and if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-team. Do y'all remember that? Every show after that was a direct result of that introduction. Now, last week I was in East Rock, and so Pastor Jared, because it's East Rock, it's Elkton, it's a little different, he used the Beverly Hillbillies. And he sang it. Come and listen to a man. I mean, I was like, by the end of it, everybody just clapped in the room. It was great, you know? So I'm using the A-team. That was more my speed. Pastor Jared was using. But the point is clear. If you read John chapter 1, everything that flows out of John chapter 1 comes directly that follows this beautiful prologue. He sets it up. If you listen to that introduction and that show, you know that every other show, every episode was a direct result of what they said at the start. And that's where we're at in John. Now, let me give you a couple other things about John, and then we'll get to today's scripture. Here's some things that are beautiful about John's writing. John, in John chapter, well, in all of his chapters, he lists seven what he calls signs, and here they are. I don't expect you to memorize them all, but you should know them. We just studied some of them in the last series because we called them miracles. John calls them signs. Here's the seven signs. The next slide will go to the seven I am statements of John. And I want you to see something that's interesting about these seven I am statements of John. You can go to the next slide. These seven I am statements are, you've heard these before, it's Jesus's attempt to explain to us who he is. He was trying to explain it to the disciples. He was trying to explain it to the religious leaders. This is who I am. What are you? Well, I'm the bread of life. This is after he fed 5,000 people. Well, who are you? I'm the light of the world. Because there was imminent darkness and evil taking place. Well, who are you? And he's standing in a field and he's going, I'm the door to the sheep. I want you to see that in three of the seven, the word life appears. This is key to today's study and it's key to the book of John. John loves the number seven. Seven signs, seven I am statements. What's the big deal about seven, Kevin? Didn't mean to rhyme that. It's the number of completion. 7 days in creation. It's the perfect number. So this isn't by accident that John gives us these things in his book. John chapter 11 is where we're going to land. Remember, the ultimate question is this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And we pick up a very familiar story. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Pause. He hasn't even told us this yet. This scene, this story doesn't appear until John chapter 12. But he's throwing this in here for you early in John chapter 11. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one who you love is sick. Lazarus's name means God has helped. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Here it is again. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Pause. Why does John need to give us their names again? John wants to make it very clear to you and to me. Jesus loves individuals. He loves them. He doesn't need to name them. He's already named them. He set up the characters in the story, but he comes back again in the very first five verses, and he says, I want you guys in Harrisonburg, Virginia, on the one-year anniversary of your crazy, way too loud, yelling too much pastor to get it that Jesus loves Mary, he loves Martha, and he loves Lazarus, and he loves you. That can't be true. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't know those things, Kevin. You've been up there preaching, but you don't really know us. And he wants to say to you right off the bat, I love you. And there are different forms of love, what I'll get to in just a minute, but he's making it really clear. What are some hand gestures for love? Here's one. If you were a wrestling fan, you'd remember Jimmy Snuka at the end of a wrestling match. You know, he'd stand there like this. Okay, we won't go into wrestling. None of y'all, you're too cultured for wrestling. Wow. East Rock would have got that, you know. They'd into wrestling, see. How about this emoji? You know, there's a various forms of these on your phone. Some of you use these. Some of you should use these. I want to ask you a question before I go any further in the scripture. When is the last time that you sensed an overwhelming feeling, presence, security of love? where you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt. It wasn't just, oh, that's a nice rose. But you were overwhelmed. You were gripped. It just completely wrecked you, however you want to define and include the word love. When's the last time? Can you think of it while I'm standing here yelling at you? Next verse says, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was for 2 more days. Kevin, you just got done telling us that Jesus really loves individuals, and he loved Lazarus, and he loved Martha, and he loved Mary. What is he doing? 2 days. And some of you are sitting here today, and you're in the middle of 2 days. What do you mean? You've sent word. You've offered the prayer. You've called somebody from the church, and nothing's happening. You've gotten your diagnosis. You've gotten your financial situation. You're in a jacked up relationship, and you've put out word. You've thrown up several prayers. You've held onto your rabbit's foot, and it's 2 days, and you're in the dead center of it, and nothing is happening. And he seemingly hasn't shown up, and it seems like he doesn't care, and you're caught in the 2 days. Wonder who I'm talking to. 2 days he waits. This is love, Jesus? How about immediate? How about right now? How about I offered the prayer and you come fix it? 2 days. And sometimes when you're in desperation mode, 2 days is a long time. You feel me? After he had said this, he went up. He said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there and wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. They're confused. Well, just let him sleep it off. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he just told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas, who later gets referred to as Doubting Thomas, speaks up, and he said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go with him, that we may die with him. And I don't know if he was saying that sarcastically or if he was like, you know what? I've been with this guy long enough. I believe in him. If he says we're going, even though we're scared to death to go and they wanted to stone him, and he says we're going back, I'm going with him and we may all die. But I'm in. Jesus shows up and Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Before we go to the next slide, in the book of John, he uses this word 98 times. Believe. 98 times. John, the closest to Jesus, the one who knows his heartbeat, the one who spent the most time with him, the one who knows everything there is to know, he saw it all, and he comes to us and he says, believe, 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 believe. 98 times. How about I say it to you 98 times? Do you think you might believe? I won't do that. John chapter 11, verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus looks at her and he says, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus says to her, oh, here it is, the capitulation, the high point of the whole passage, which, Kevin, you could have got to 10 minutes ago. I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you, Martha, believe this? Do you, Harrisonburg, Church of the Nazarene, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Son of God who is come into the world. Do you know this is so different and it's so massive? Jesus doesn't walk up to her and he says, Martha, do you believe this? And he's not saying to her, I will point you in the right direction. I will show you the way to go. He just looks at her and he says, I am the way. I am the direction. I am life. And if you will come and find me and rest in me and believe in me, you'll find life. I'm life. And I have been all, by the way, all the way back to the very beginning, including Genesis. Nothing has ever happened except through me. I'm life, Martha. Standing right in front of you, here I am. You can find life. I want you to think about this in this passage. You don't have time to read this all now, but you should later this week. You should spend some time, just a few minutes. It's a long chapter, I know, which is making this message longer. I'm sorry. The word sick appears four times. The word sleep appears three times. The word rise appears twice. Weeping appears three times. Love appears three times. Death, or some version of the word death, depending on your translation, appears seven times. The only word that appears more in this section is the word believe. Nine times in one section of Scripture. What are you still having trouble believing in? What is preventing you to believe even more than what you do now? You'll know my family, Kevin. You'll know what we're facing. Some I do, most I don't. You say, this is a ridiculous illustration. They all fail on some level, but I want to show you this. And I want you to think about the group of people back in December in 1903. It was in North Carolina. Kill Devil Hills or Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, there was two guys, and they believed they could fly. They thought, we're going to actually take ourselves and an object in the air. And the first flight was less than a minute. In fact, it was like 15 or 20 seconds. They took three flights that day. The third flight was 1 minute long. They had multiple crashes. Nobody got injured that day. But I'm sure there were only five people who watched this. I'm sure everybody else thought, what are you trying? You're going to get off the ground and stay off the ground and fly? I want you to watch this video of this plane. You can go ahead and play it. That plane weighs over 1 million pounds with no cargo on it. It can carry an additional 550,000 pounds. Its wingspan is wider than a football field, and from nose to end, it's almost the length of a football field. And depending on how many people are in the stadium and how heavy the players are, it probably weighs more than a football field. And I wonder in 1903, as those five people stood there on the beach and said, these guys are crazy, why would we ever believe in this? Would we look at that and go, what in the world? We have no problem believing in that now. Well, because we've seen it and some of us have experienced it. What is preventing you from believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually raised a man to life? He was the very opposite of death. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was troubled. The word here is he was angry. Jesus walks up, he's fully God, but now he's fully human, and he himself is moved by what he sees in this moment. So he's hurt, weeping, and he's also angry. In fact, it would be the translation of a horse that snorts. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. The shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. He just shed one little tear. He wept over this. What are you crying about? You know in just a couple minutes, you're about to raise this dude up out of here. And the humanness of Jesus shows up in this moment. And he's angry and he's weeping. And he's with people that he loves who are weeping in this moment. And the Jews said, see how he loved them. See how he loved him. There are five words in Greek for love. Most of us only know the last three. There are actually five. We have like, oh, I love Krispy Kreme, and I love my car, and I love the Philadelphia Eagles. Football's about to start, y'all. Did you know that? We use it, and we just throw it around casually for, we have one love, right? Even though we think and we would say, well, it means different things. The Greeks defined it, and they put five different words around it. Jesus, in verse 5, loved Martha and her sister, and the love it's talking about there is agape, unconditional, so deep, so overwhelming, takes over your life, ravages you, captures you, secures you. It's like nothing you've ever felt before. That depth, that kind of love. I want to show you a picture. This is actually the picture, they believe, of Lazarus' tomb. Worship team is coming. This is the historical site of Lazarus's tomb. And through that door, if you want to Google this, it's pretty amazing. You can watch the video, and they go all the way down a staircase, and they go way to the bottom, and there's just cut out shelves in the rock down at the bottom, at the base of what they believe is Lazarus's tomb, actually. It's right outside the Mount of Olives, and thousands of people every year march their way in there to go and see, is this actually where the anti-death God, Jesus, showed up and raised a man from the dead? This is it. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Here it is. It was a cave with a stone across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. The King James says, he stinketh, for he has been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Do you think he needed to pray right there? Why did Jesus pray out loud? I think he was just reminding those folks around him, I'm going to give glory to God. And I told you I was going to do this, so I'm going to audibly say it so everybody can hear me pray to my dad. Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus! And Charles Spurgeon said, the reason he yells his name is because if he didn't, every other dead body would have come up out of the grave. Lazarus come out, and the dead man came out. Jesus raises Lazarus. Are you listening? And when he does this, he announces his own death. And he knew it. It's right before Passover. And the religious officials had already been breathing down his neck. And he knew, when I announce this, they're going to come after me, and this is going to be the end for me. So here's this beautiful picture of Jesus, the God-man, the bringer and breather of all life. He shows up in death, and he raises a man back. And at the same time, he goes, this is going to mean my death. In fact, in the next chapter, they said they were so upset with him, they tried to kill Lazarus too. Now, I don't know what your interpretation of, like, how we define what real love is and how we define how deep and gripping it is, but I was having a conversation with Pastor Jeanette this week, and I said, Jeanette, how can we best illustrate this? And I'll show you a video here in just a second. But I said, I'm talking about a love that Scripture defines, this agape love, and she said, I know it. I've experienced it. And I want her to share, as we get ready to close, her experience of this overwhelming love. Go ahead.
As Pastor Kevin was telling me the story and what he was going to focus on, I said, Kevin, this is exactly how I came to Christ, is when I recognized his love for me. And for me, it was a lot of people speaking into my life leading up to this. But I remember being in the hospital room with my daughter, my first daughter, and she was laying on my chest, and I just looked at her, and I was overwhelmed with the amount of love that I had for her, and I had just met her. And my mom had always said, you'll never know that kind of love until you have or adopt a child of your own. And I knew it at that moment. I knew what that felt like because I was experiencing it. And at that moment, I wouldn't say I heard him audibly, but it was as close to audibly as I would say I've heard God. And he said, you look at this child and you think you love her. If you can only know how much more I love you. And at that moment, I gave my life to Christ. So that's the story. And it's history. It's been history since. So. Yeah.
Yeah. You could clap for that. Yeah. I want to drive this home just a little deeper for you. You've all seen some version of this. Some version of what I'm trying to explain is this overwhelming. All we have is human emotion. A husband and a wife, a mother and her daughter, that's all we have. That's the best we've got to try to wrap our brains and our hearts around. How much does Jesus actually love us? Watch this scene with a dad who's been away on a military break, come home to meet his son. And then you think of the scripture that says, if this is how much you think you love, imagine my love. Just watch this.
At this time, we would like to welcome home Senior Chief Michael Forhan. Your dad is in the back of the cafeteria.
The greatest thing to me, personally, that the Lord has said to me for the last 2.5 weeks as I've studied this scripture is not the miracle of Lazarus being raised. What he said to me is, Kevin, do you believe, what? That I love you. Do you believe on that level that I love you beyond that? Because I do. How about you? Because I think if we believed and trusted that we had a Savior who loves us like that, every other issue in our life, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, perfect, but I'm telling you, the rest that we would get, the peace that we would have, the security and understanding, okay, God, I don't understand this, I don't agree with this, but this much I know, I've seen a picture of what human love looks like, and you're telling me in this picture, you showed up because you loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the reason you did this was not just for a magic trick, not just to show I can do this. You did that, and you defeated death. It was to say, I love you. Stand with me. You get to participate in that right here, right now, this morning. You don't need to be a member of this church. You just have to have turned from sin and turned to Him, and maybe that can happen in this next few moments. We have communion tables at each of the corners of the room, and I'm going to invite you in just a second to come and to take the elements and then to go back to your seat and just hang on to them. We're going to sing in response for what He's done. We're going to pause. We're going to take communion together, and then we're going to celebrate before we walk out of here. Do you believe, what, Kevin, that Jesus loves you? Wow. You can move.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.